And welcome. Good morning. Well, it might be midday for some of us, but first time me keeping in touch with you. This does culminate in that morning greeting that I'm here to share with you. This is your brand conversation on your number one talk radio station. Yes, you're here in the company of your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. And you're with me, Dwight, here on this lovely, sultry, warm Thursday edition. So, the month of October is in full swing. We looked at the benefits that viral marketing gives you. However, there is always an opposite to what viral marketing can also actually create in a negative. Now, the basics of viral marketing that we stressed over back on our earlier sessions was all about you're leaving the message and the mechanism of the message to your audience. You're leaving it there. You are dropping it in your audience base, allowing the audience to carry it along. They see a benefit, you signal the benefit that it has to them, and they carry it along. Now, remember that this is something different from the other kinds of advertising or targeted messaging that went viral. Those messaging that I spoke about in earlier sessions of the brand conversation of last week had to do with the creativity element that these messages incorporated. However, if you use viral marketing in order to promote brand awareness, in order to promote the features of a product, in order to cause a call to action. A call to action is like you putting out a notice of a sale exercise, telling your customers, hey, listen, there's going to be a sale on these kinds of prices only from this day to this day, this time period to this time period. That is telling a customer base there's a call, they need to act on this message. If they want to capitalize on this pricing, they need to act. Now that's call to action. Those are exercises for call to action. Those are instances for call to action. They're also sometimes known as activations. But activations also, they overlap into other functions of two physical product displays that you would sometimes see at your retailers. But no, viral marketing is something else. Viral marketing is all about leaving all the information in the realm of your consumer, which also includes the broader public, the broader audience out there, who is not part of a targeted communication medium, i.e. like, for example, radio or a newspaper or a TV. No. And that it is also further on carried and supported and actually amplified by the usage of newer modern day technologies that allow you to actually enact said viral marketing exercise, i.e. social media platforms. Now the pros obviously from making use of viral marketing points to the following. It actually creates the brand awareness. So the brand awareness component is obviously there. Second, what it does is that it has a broader reach than just a normally targeted audience or normally targeted group of people. This can be or an audience, meaning viewers or readers or listeners, or a combination of both sometimes. It is cost effective to run viral marketing campaigns, which they are. They are. And I will always point back to, and we all see this, especially on our social media platforms that we all are linked into, these being the usage of memes. A meme, guys, is one of the best examples of a viral marketing message. One of the best examples. If you know what the meme, the context of the meme is derived from, for example, you find a lot about the Marvel movie superheroes. You find a lot about sports stars. And I really feel sorry for anyone, you know, that potentially form part of the usual suspects of these memes, meaning the people who always get poked fun at are usually the instance of sports like Arsenal, Liverpool, you know, those works. And then it's always the Marvel superhero universe. I'm really sorry, guys, if any of you are Arsenal super or Arsenal, Man United, and Liverpool fans. I really apologize, but you do find a lot of funny memes out there about them, pointing towards scenarios. And those memes catch on like wildfire. People love it. People see, they see the funny in it, and they share it. The same also goes, unfortunately, if the meme or if this message also includes something negative sometimes. People also share it like wildfire. Now, the next thing about the various advantages of viral marketing, had a look at the credibility and brand awareness component. This is the third benefit that I'm just pointing out to you, that the credibility depends on how positively you convey the message. Now, the exercise of the broken telephone always comes in here for perspective, i.e. with viral marketing, because you are leaving it up to your consumer, to your audience, to the broader public. The notion is always about how well does the message get communicated from one person to the next person and so on. You see, the aim of sometimes of viral marketing is not that you want to see where the end of the broken telephone exercise is, meaning you don't want to see the end point and you don't want to hear what the message at the end point would have perhaps changed to or would have evolved into. No, that's not what you're looking for. The aim is that you just want people to talk. You just want them to talk, to engage in discourse, to be communicating with each other, not about their everyday lives, but about your brand. Now, sometimes on social media, they call these impressions or they've got another thing that they sometimes also measure, these analytics units or the people that do social media analytics. Sometimes it's also about clicking as well, you know, who selects or interacts with a post. I personally still have to look at how they scale those kinds of interactions that someone posts on a social media platform in order to understand, you know, what is the focal point? What is the starting point of the analysis? You know, to see, because I understand when people come through to a website. I understand you have first time users. No, not first time users. You've got visitors, ne, to a website. From the visitors pool, you can break them up into first time visitors, repeat visitors, and then you can view them in terms of where they come from, where they originate from, the visiting. Where do they come from? Are they local? Are they South African? Are they overseas? All these kinds of things. All these kinds of elements. You can see it when looking at the statistics or the traffic. They call it traffic statistics for a website. But for social media, they changed the dynamic up. You see, if you're now going to be talking about credibility and brand awareness with regards to leveraging the usage of viral marketing or implementing viral marketing, and you really want to see credibility and brand awareness, and you really want to measure that specific component, it changes the dynamic changes up from looking at a website, because during the internet bubble of the 1990s leading into the 2000s, or they call it the noughts, the internet economy back then was all about trying to generate traffic to your website. You want customers not going to your physical shop, but getting on the internet to go to your website. Now, the unfortunate thing there is that meant you could have, if you have 7 billion people on the planet, you could have 7 billion websites. And how do you know what you want to look for? I.e., that then gave rise to something like the search engines, because the search engines actually categorize, they scroll through the internet, they crawl through the internet to look for your search parameters, what they can find for you. Second one of that is also from the search engine development that then gave birth to the social media platforms. So on the internet, you now have people that set up private spaces. It's almost like looking at a, what's the thing's name? At communal land. It's like looking at communal land. Communal land is there for everyone, right? Let's say you specifically live in a zone and everyone has access to the same resources, the same pieces of land that you also have access to, right? But here's the thing. Now, one guy out of the whole community decides, okay, I'm going to fence off this piece of land for me. He or she did not pay anything. They just decided to show up with poles and wires and, the necessary skilled labor. Those guys that put up the fencing and put in the fencing poles. You know the real thing that we see in real life? And then that happens. They fence off in a communal area without paying for anything, without having spoken to anyone, without asking permission from anyone. They just go and do their thing. Now that's what social media, the sort of development of the social media companies have done. So now to gain access, you have to ask permission. And when you gain access into a social media platform, the measurement dynamics change. Now I mentioned this just to give you an analytical perspective in terms of realizing that if you have a website as a company or as a marketing executive, it is easier to measure your visitors. It's the same thing with having a physical store. You know, you have a shop front and everyone that walks in, you can count per day how many people walked into the front door of your shop or of your business and how many people left. And you count at the end of every day in terms of, you know, in retail terms, how many people actually interacted with the staff and interacted in terms of buying something or inquiring about something and paid for something. And there are various tools and instruments there that you can leverage to count that. Now, when you make use of advertising in the traditional sense, the idea is to channel traffic to your storefront, to channel traffic to your website. But when you go through the viral marketing perspective, and this is the thing, guys, that I've been thinking ever since 2009, because I tried doing a research paper on viral marketing regarding marketing campaigns. I tried it. At that stage, Facebook was not the end thing yet in Namibia. Facebook was still being tried out by us university students who were full-time then in 2008, 2009. So between then and now, social media has vastly, vastly evolved. Vastly evolved. The same also for the smartphone. Because back then, you could barely access, depending on your, obviously, what kind of a phone you owned, you could barely access your smartphone, you could barely access your Facebook page. And Facebook was but number one of the most widely used social media platforms. Not that it was the first one. You had Dailymotion. You had, what's the other one? MySpace. If any one of you guys still remember MySpace, I never used MySpace because I couldn't understand it. There was another one that was also implemented. And then you had 4chan, which is like heading into the very creepy side of the internet. But yeah, these were the social media platforms then. The first instances of it. Now, looking at viral marketing, guys, and looking at how you want to measure the credibility and brand awareness component, credibility depends on how positively you convey that message. So it's all about investing in emotion, investing in tones, investing in probably, you know, the value proposition is heavily emphasized or is overly emphasized in the messaging for that viral marketing campaign. Because if your content gets viral because of good reasons, you can earn brand credibility and create brand awareness within no time. For sure. And it will be there. Well, as long as it does not transgress what the social media sites now call community rules. You know, offensive posts, offensive videos, offensive images, anyone from the social media community on there who sees this can report a post, and then your post gets pulled by the administrators of the platform, or your account gets suspended, or you get banned from the platform. So that happens. So if the value proposition provides good reasons and good news and positivity or excessive levels of positivity, for sure you'll be able to try and measure brand awareness and credibility. But remember, guys, I'm talking about the use of social media in this example, because letting it out there, like now, like you in person, you and someone else, it will not be easy. You will not wake up and decide, today I'm going to talk to my friends about the lovely homemade honey that I make at home. No. Some cases your friends will ask you, what's the benefit? What's in it for them? What's the benefit of listening to you brag to them how good you felt from eating 100% pure, naturally made honey? They'll ask you that question. Or they'll tell you you're boring. Or they'll tell you you're weird. Well, you can choose which one, you know, would be the probability or the possibility in terms of the level of insults that they'll share with you. But still, yeah. Knowing friends, some friends are sometimes, you know, they're pretty brutal sometimes. So yeah, they might do this. Now, on the social media front, the measurement component becomes difficult. I've seen, you know, especially websites, social media sites or social media accounts established for organizations. It looks cool, but if you sit there with an analytical mind, you go and ask yourself, what is the measurement? What is the item we are measuring? Because you ask yourself with regards to trying to measure credibility and brand awareness, how many people is it that interact? Obviously, you can see that. But then one person can have multiple interactions. That's also obscuring your, you know, the information, the data. Or it could be a bot account. If you guys know what bot accounts are, in terms of my, you know, very limited investigative journalistic training from a workshop that I got, there were mechanisms of finding out if an account was someone's Twitter and Facebook accounts was legit a person that owned this account, or if it was a fake account or a bot account. A bot account is an account that just, you know, like on a scheduled, they would post things randomly. But here's the thing. We ran an exercise with my Twitter account. And then the tutor of the workshop said, yeah, Dwight, your Twitter account looks like a bot account. I said, yes, because I'm not going to post anything there. There's nothing I want to share with strangers that I do not know. Why? The aim is why? Now, if you've got scenarios like that, without ever being able to further establish whether or not your data or the information regarding whether or not your viral marketing campaign is actually impacting or is being impactful, how then would you know whether or not the data is legit? Whether or not the data sets that is generated from these social media platforms that provide insights into impressions, perceptions, perspectives, the works, how do you know that the data sets are legit? Now, I'm actually with that last point, which is the advantage. I'm putting two arguments in one, because they can provide you with the sort of like the data, the information, the impressions, how many people interacted with stuff. But on the other side, if you sit there scrutinizing the information in front of you, and for those of us that had to do research and think about, you know, research topics and discussions from tertiary institutions, your questions would always have been, think about your problem, think about the question you want to ask, think about what you want to solve, think about what you want to gain access and information to. It's not as flimsy as what we journalists have to do, because here you actually have to start with a broad problem and you have to break it down to as narrow as possible to guide you with your data collection or with your literature review that you've got to do. Because sometimes in the journalistic realm, and that's now me just comparing the two, you know, the two schools of thought or schools of practice, is that you're given a broad topic to talk about. But you sometimes see, yes, but there are unexplored components that can feed into the discussion and it can support and break up the discussion even further, because the human brain does not just think in a line. We don't think in a line, guys. Now, that's the unfortunate scenario with looking at information coming from viral marketing campaigns. How well and how good. Now I'm going to get into the clear-cut disadvantages. But before I do so, we're quickly stepping into a short break. After the break, we're going to come back right after this. Time to get fired up for the first ever Real Good Braai Championship. Real Good Chicken is on the hunt for the best chicken kapana braaier in Namibia. If you braai for a living, you could win a branded and full kitted out business starter container as well as poultry stock for half a year. All you need to do is buy a Real Good Chicken Kapana half bird box and SMS champion plus your town name to 2442 to enter. Real Good Chicken, a proud product of Nama Poultry Industries.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter
in terms of the infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first.
For social position to raise a child, what does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commander say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, coming back from our extended break right there, let me call it the crux of our discussion, i.e. being this the disadvantages for today, is having a look at what could possibly go wrong. Now, let's understand, guys, that with advertising, especially promotional messages that come from paid-for sponsorships, because that's what advertising is. It's a form of paid-for sponsorship, because you are sponsoring something and you are paying for that opportunity for said communication. Now, since in marketing, you know, marketing executives, branding executives, advertising executives, we love buzzwords. You know, we love buzzwords. You can hear me clicking my fingers, but yes, we love buzzwords. We like going with the current trends. We like implementing what is now the in thing and sometimes leveraging the in thing scenarios. And viral marketing always sounds excellent in the goal, in the clear-cut objective of obtaining, or as an excellent way to create the most perfect brand awareness scenario, or to try and boost sales. But here's the worst thing. Something that would sound awesome on paper, and even in your head as an executive, can also backfire if you do not do it right. If your implementation is not spot on. If your rollout plan is not perfect. Has not been checked, cross-checked, and ensured that you've got everything right. The language being used is not going to cause any unfriendly scenarios. Because in most cases with viral marketing campaigns and advertising campaigns, it was because an actor, a voice actor said something wrong, or an actor looked wrong, or there was a tone that was perceived by an audience that just put them off, that started actually the opposite of a positive viral marketing campaign, a negative one. So we start off with the negatives, guys. Firstly is, as I mentioned, starting the exact opposite of a viral marketing campaign, of a positive viral marketing campaign, you actually start a negative one.
Ano ewa Namibia ma kamaka ministry ewa tuiku okokama konuka aka ekwa ek number 5 of 2002 ka etisins wasin sewa aka kandur gasin ha kawaka ekka etisin ekokas de kuguko ashika esin eka khabe kuko mika ha kawaka she eti oka ekka tikamaka Kwatuka ewa tosikewa kan akaga ka more mesewa anuganga. Singha kawa traditional authority ga disin toko ak akatosisin reno gea kakatiko deaka ka akanehu ka region warka onzanga kak a tosik aka forum seko akatenha. Minister Khabet onga singka ka Okoka ngumseko aka esin ka Namibia aka dursin system kabaha. Ka kakakosin ang habe ko huwak u dea kaka aka ase esin tigia po karishin aka hu po ka zekre ko waka besekitsin okoka ase tiko kait aka eka kuinhuha. Jaka ewa Tosika wa Juan Uka wa Akaga Augea Aka Nka A Unwe Soner Katisin Ajeko Hoha Jack Sewa Juan Uka wa Toka wa Akaga Kata Gauka Akaka Azhao Adamin Wojuse Gekoha Ka Itiko Gea Akana Shekurin Tio Tapaha Kahabati Ote Jun Etiko Akana Ha ka te jutu go kongwia kweka ka ka khabati o te ka kang kao te ka khani endo te kau eko a te ka tosi ka kakana ka kagaha kwe kakana te kani au ko soa warga ka wa kakana ka kagaha ka khabati wi khamis ka te te kau wi te te ha ka tosi ka wa kakaga ka kase e jutu kongwia ha te kang te waka te ka kari ka shiasin Okoka Shidoreng Seti Kiri Wakan Eng Ediapka Plan Singha. Ka Khabati Khamdaka Traditional Authority Ka Ekati Wea Ka Aka Tosa Akwe Ka Iti Gya Ka Juk Aminta Ngore Ngha. Ka Khabati Ka Tosi Ka Iti Tawako Kwa Ate Anuti Kwa Aka Kuru Ka Ewa Kuze Sin Po Dol Aka Chise Okoka Chise Eng Sewa Kese Oka Ngore Ngha Gaha. Kakwati kan ukwika was housing a tosik aiga, tosika wa jung on housing anaka. Juse wa I jungo kao kwara papa koman, juse kamaka majinelesa, juse ta, juse ai, juse mum oko juse ga. Ministry think a joar kaka gao na a toko huang uwa e katosika wa akaga. Ka adeko gao ka e aga tosi aga gaha forum sese wa khwach uga sinkhabiti waka ka traditional authority kwa oko ministry aga kandua sese toma ka ngormese aga ha juk awa juk kwa atire kangre atin ang khwach u an e ne Namibia wa mngore tewa msin ayin oko mkhan daka kandua Chiang khabe khang onsin oko Namibia shiri te koko mika esin. Mkere tiko a Namibia aka shiri te koko mika esin. Te khabe ge waka enka chise tita ngen ajuka shi janka Namibia kausin ha. Te aka kaduar kase wa program ka ewa a aga kaisao aga gaha. Ka ego kamaka anu ewa Namibia ama. European Union sin German Eye Corporation. Kamaka jamin aga taisao bang. No gesi ka ignoha gerko ka ibel dea public relation kandur ka eka numero wa.
Nel ses ian, we nel aksieve, nyehe tuye, nyehe.
Ushua kokusha oshikwiri rimba oshina hepero momunyovye tupeva peyuva. Monao, po Global Parts, tunova ungure ova puike, odo nongo, nova harupu okuku vatera. Tunovitenda peke peke vyo vikwiri rimba okudhako Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Audi, BMW, nui natuwa weather ovitenda vyo Toyota. Wedhako o manao manene shimu na o maile no topra. Tuvadha po mura rimbui o Naismith mo Southern Industrial Area. Po Global Parts tukupa onji viro othemba, ohunga, no vitenda vyo vitore. Global Parts, global reach for best local advice and prices.
Now as we come back and just after the extended break, the idea with regards to negative viral marketing, unfortunately, is something that is true, and it is something that can create a whole bunch of, well, you know it, guys. Just plain, simple disaster. Because an advertising campaign is not about creating negativity, it's actually supposed to generate positivity. I.e. positivity in sales, positivity in calls to action, positivity in brand awareness, positivity in the consumers and the audience just positively, you know, resonating with a brand. Now, the first thing that can go wrong is that a viral marketing campaign from an organization or corporate can create negative word of mouth. Now, if people are sharing your content with positivity, your brand will be viral within no time. However, if they perceive your message in a negative manner, as I mentioned earlier, you know, it could be a voice actor that pronounces something incorrect or a tone that people are picking up on and saying, no, but this thing doesn't sit right with me, or there's just something off about the campaign, then your brand will be famous in a much uncoveted, unappreciated, but widely spoken about manner. Negative buzz can be extremely detrimental for any brand. Any brand. Negative buzz, guys, is the worst. The worst. Unless if you are in the game for generating negative viral marketing. As I mentioned, I'll always mention this company, the Nando's franchise group in South Africa. They were the only guys that would be controversial. They would be controversial in their messaging. Sometimes they would just have regular messaging, but then in between they would generate controversial messaging with regards to current affairs, current issues in the broader South African society. For example, the one where they had what is that puppet, you know, that the Sesame Street characters are made from, you know, that puppet that is controlled with from an operator from far, it's not a marionette. Now they used one of South Africa's, you know, very famous politicians, who is he's still a politician, that being Julius Malema, in one of their scenarios. He didn't take it lightly. He and his supporters didn't like it. And obviously, that ad only aired twice. You can still find it on YouTube. That ad only aired twice. Actually, a handful of times. They didn't like it. It was reported to the advertising authority in South Africa. And that ad just cancelled. But what's the thing? They implemented their own twisted sense of brand awareness and positive brand recognition in that scenario by implementing or actually staging a viral marketing, an indirect viral marketing campaign. Now, let me first get this caller through. Eagle FM, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, how are you doing?
No, I'm okay. How are you?
I'm all right. What do you want to talk about?
I want to... My English is not so quite good.
Mm-hmm.
Can I say something in our vernacular?
But what's it about?
It's a lost cattle.
Lost cattle.
Yes.
Okay, can I ask you if you can just hold on a bit, and then I can ask, I just want to take your number, and then my colleagues give you a call after this.
Okay, please.
Yeah, just hold on for me, I'll quickly go to a short ad.
Okay, bye.
No, no, hold on, hold on, just hold on, just hold on.
Oh, okay.
Ah, just hold on, just hold on. We'll quickly go to a short ad and come back right after this.
Hello, Namibia. Welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or the Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message, type it out, and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply...
Now we come back from that quick break, that abrupt break right there, indicating with regards to the, you can still come through here on your number one talk radio station for just any kind of discussion point that you want to air. We are there also just to take note of any tips or complaints or just something that you wish to share. However, the number that you can try calling is 288-401-400. With regards to that, we can link you up with the right people to talk to. Now, stepping on from the negative word of mouth in terms of the disadvantages you can create from just a badly launched viral marketing campaign, you get into that results will be hard to measure. Now, I mentioned this to you in trying to measure credibility and brand awareness, especially on social media sites. Now, guys, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize when a data set or when information doesn't make sense to you. And the worst part of it all is if you try to understand and ask the question of what does each data set represent, what is it born out of, and how can I access this information? Because sometimes, if just for curiosity's sake, if you're someone, an executive or someone in a research zone, you want to access the raw material. You want to have access to the raw material. No, they shouldn't be raw, like uncategorized or unfiltered. Just, you know, in a very basic form, categorized, filtered, placed in the various, if we can call it, columns on a spreadsheet or something like that. Just for you to try and see, okay, what's the raw set data look like sometimes. Now, as I mentioned, sometimes some social media sites will not give you the raw data. They won't. Because it's their platform, they own it. You want to run a marketing campaign, a viral one for that matter, on their platforms. The unfortunate thing is, how many times someone shares something that you posted or shared, unfortunately, will be carried with the wind. Now, if you know that expression, that means no one can stop the wind. Meaning, no one can stop a negative campaign just going on and on and on.
You always listen to your heart when you're in love. But why not listen to it when it warns you? Come on, deep in your heart, you know your risk of a heart attack increases with high blood pressure and cholesterol, smoking, obesity, diabetes, depression and stress. So listen to your heart, exercise, watch your weight and avoid tobacco. Call NHP on 061-285-5400 or visit www.nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Now, as we come back from that quick break, the next disadvantage you can unfortunately run into is that the results are hard to measure. Oh, sorry. That was number two. Now, let me just branch out lightly on this specific thing, on the specific disadvantage, because up to date, there is no benchmark to measure the success of any viral marketing campaign. There is no benchmark. And it's as I told you, you know what the exercise or the aim of the exercise is, the broken telephone exercise was and is. You insert a message on the point, on the one point, in order to see what the message has changed into at the other end, right? So you have a start and an end. With viral marketing, there is no end. There is a start, there is no end. So you do not know how many people can be sharing a post. How many people could be talking about this post? How many impressions could be generated about a post? How many people are sharing and co-sharing and sub-posting and sub-submitting? Continuously just going on interacting with this specific message. You don't know. You won't be able to measure it. You won't be able to. You really will not be able to. Now, I'm speaking from the perspective of you as a marketer, you as a branding executive, you as a as an advertising executive. I'll give you a social viral marketing campaign that was on fire. And to use probably one of the most annoying terminologies, it was lit. Terminology was the SGBV campaign of 2020. It was all organized on social media. All. Because they knew there was no way that people, that whoever would ever know about trying to find out, you know, who the actual instigators of something was. You only heard, you know, a maybe this person and a maybe that person. But it was a well-executed social media viral marketing campaign about a social component. Something that impacts you and me. Everyone. The next thing is, if you had to try and understand how to measure the results of a viral marketing campaign, it is simply impossible for a business to measure the increase in sales volume due to the viral marketing campaign's effectiveness. Meaning, there will be no way you will be able to try and correlate sales volume activity with exposure. There will be no way. You see, even as I'm sitting right here, right now, and I've, you know, going just before the program, you know, sometimes we have our social media, pages open. You see these flashing messages. You go into a website, you see a flashing message of a business. And it's a Google ad, I can tell you that. But here's the downside of it. The business who placed this ad doesn't even know how many people are looking at their ad. They don't know. They don't know how many websites their ad is being reflected on. It could be, it could not be, but you do get certain parameters that just say, yes, any ad in the zone of Namibia, you can submit a Google ad for. Now, that also is a viral marketing campaign. Even though it's digital, it's viral. The next thing is, which is also a disadvantage, unfortunately, is low virility. Now, virility has to do with the impact of you know, how well this viral marketing campaign actually is going. How well it's going. How good it's going. Its impact. You know, how many people it's reaching. Now, a viral marketing campaign may also fail at the very beginning or somewhere through the launch of it because of low virality. This is usually an occurrence when a user refuses to share the content if they are concerned about their security and privacy. So when the safety component of a user comes into the scenario, the user will think five times about sharing a post, about sharing a message, or about sharing a just any kind of message, you know. The reason why this happens sometimes, and it's sometimes not even about safety and privacy, it's sometimes just that the authors or the executives who thought about the campaign thought that in their heads and on paper when they proposed the campaign that the campaign would be awesome. The campaign would just fly, you know, it would culminate in record sales volumes, and it would culminate in record consumer activity with the products or with the services or with the company. And when you look at the message or the content of the message, there is no enticing factor. There's no factor telling the audience, this is the reason I'm giving you the message, so go and spread the message. It gives you maximum value. There is a tangible benefit. Some executives would come to you and talk about fancy ideas about how well something sounds in their head, but the actual scenario is when you roll out the campaign, there is low volumes of interaction between the audience or the public and the message. Guys, I've seen so many times. I mean, the only thing that actually has a high sense of virality in a viral marketing campaign is people who share, you know, these nice messages on WhatsApp. If you are looking for, let's for example say, someone that is a nail technician, or who's a mechanic, or who is this, because there is that human, there's that humanity component. People will help other people. People will help people. And if it's just about posting it on your timeline or on your WhatsApp status, it's nothing. It takes 5 minutes. But now a company comes along and the company has your number, right? And the company is sending you, and the company incorporated you into a WhatsApp group, which you didn't give permission to be included in. And the company is now spamming you with messages. And I've seen this, guys, how quickly people just exited or left a WhatsApp group like that for a company. Very quickly. I've seen it. I've really seen it. But the aspect of privacy and security comes into that in that example for sure. Another example is sometimes when some marketing executives from corporations would promote the product, their company's product, on their WhatsApp timelines or statuses. They would promote this. And in some cases, unfortunately, the limited scope of people that see your status is only limited to your phone book. You know, the contacts on your phone, it's only limited to them. So your scale, your virility is also very low there. If you're from another kind of business or another kind of marketing or running a promotion from a different kind of sector, there would be a 50-50 scenario. Let's, for example, say if you were running a butchery and you were promoting on your WhatsApp timeline because you've got customers that order with you or call you directly on your phone, or you've got a contact number to be contacted by, the moment you indicate specials, meat specials, people would be calling you. But the moment you are indicating, for example, let's say, what can I use? Discounts on, what is it I can use? Yeah. Well, let's just live a little bit in make believe land and indicate it's a totally different business. For example, discounts on certain car parts. Well, car parts would still create a buzz. However, it would be limited as well, because there would only be so many people that would need parts for a car. However, if you had people that were in need of meat, red meat, food, you would have more exponential impact, more exponential reach, and positive brand awareness than the car parts scenario. Now, besides the low virility, there is also a nuisance factor that you have to consider. And this is one of the downsides to some viral marketing campaigns. The nuisance factor is when a audience member goes to every kind of communication medium and they see the same message being spoken about. Now, if a marketer has decided to use email as a way to drive traffic to the website, they are competing with other people who are using the same structure possibly. If a marketer uses a WhatsApp group or WhatsApp statuses, there could be other people who are doing the same medium as well. If a marketer makes use of a social media platform like Facebook or Twitter, other people are also doing the same thing. Now, imagine you are that one consumer that sees on multiple platforms various instances of viral marketing messaging taking place. You go and experience the phenomena that I spoke about last week, the marketing blindness phenomena, where people just go shut down. They don't interact. They do not care about the messaging. They are not interested in it. If they will need to make use of your product, they will go seek out your physical distribution point, which is your shop space or your physical storefront. And as I mentioned, the measurement of trying to see whether or not this activity was the result of the marketing campaign is very difficult to prove. It is very difficult to prove. And then lastly, just to share with you with regards to, because we only have 2 minutes left of today's program, is that with the viral marketing campaigns, there is, and this is one of the reasons why I kept it late, or not late, but last, is that there's always an ethical consideration to view. There's always the perspective of seeing whether certain viral marketing campaigns are falling within the scope of the marketing ethics with regards to communication or not. Sometimes they don't. For example, the Nando's example I gave you. Nando's has been controversial for a whole host of various kinds of TV ads that they've produced. I've mentioned to you the Julius Malema one, where he was a puppet. I've mentioned to you the blind lady and her dog. I've mentioned to you not a dispute, but it was more like the two ad campaigns, the two companies were poking fun at each other. This being Nando's, and it was another company, with regards to, you know, just about how they do each other's advertising, and they were trying to mock each other. And you find all these instances where potentially, you know, ethics becomes an issue, or there is a good case for considering whether or not this company's messaging is actually unethical. However, I leave you on that note for today's discussion, and we end off on the viral marketing component for this session of the Brand Conversation. Stay tuned as the On The Radar team are ready.